The week's best geek news and all the topics you crave. All girl, all geek, all the time. Hello, Sweetie Podcast.
I'm Alexander Ortega, managing editor for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. An acronym for Salt Lake Underground, Slug is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this week's episode, we chat with alternative rock act Golden Plates about his latest album. Golden Plates is a solo project of Salt Lake City musician Bryson Dieters. Playing off the LDS faith as tropes for the band, Dieters takes on the role of Elder Bryson with the name of his albums and songs as references to the church. In 2015, he released his debut EP, Eugenics, along with a series of singles through his SoundCloud account. In March of 2016, he'll be releasing his first full-length album, The Light, coinciding with his free live show at Urban Lounge on March 31st. Slug writer Ali Shimka sat down with Elder Bryson to talk about his music and his latest works.
Did you start with this idea of the Golden Plates, of this whole, like, religious parody?
Right, okay. Yeah, so when I moved here from San Francisco about 2 years ago.
Oh, I was literally just there.
Awesome.
This morning.
It's beautiful. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. That's all. And that's why I moved back, too.
Exactly. So. That's why, yeah. No, I had some friends help, you know, they appealed to my ego, and they're like, if you move to Salt Lake, you'll be a big fish in a small pond. And, of course, me being narcissistic, I couldn't turn that down. So,
it's a good reason.
Right, exactly. So I moved out here, and then my buddy moved out here, and we had this little duo, songwriting duo. We called ourselves Panda Sex Gurus. It was all just parody joke songs and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like the real big fish, but only with two guitars. Mm-hmm. But he moved back to California, like, after, like, 3 months because he'd realized that he'd never seen snow before. And so I was on my own. So I wrote some songs, my first EP, and then I spent, like, 8 months looking for a drummer. Mm-hmm. And they didn't exist, so I'm like, well,
it's hard, yeah.
I'm gonna do it myself. So I had a contest on Facebook, like, hey, name my next band. And, like, some total stranger was like, Golden Plates. I'm like,
that's brilliant.
That's brilliant.
So, did you teach yourself drums then?
Yeah, I don't. The drums aren't real. It's the keyboard drums where I go through and I touch the little buttons and.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, like the way Jamie Hintz plays drums from The Kills is kind of the same concept where they're not real, but he wrote the parts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm a really mediocre drummer. I can play the drums, but not as well as I do.
So there's kind of a little bit of I feel like there's a kind of a twinge of, like, political satire, maybe a little bit of social satire. It's mostly religious, though?
It's mostly religious, but there's literally every kind of satire.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest satirical aspect of it is that, you know, it's like, because I get messages on Facebook like, hey, this is a Christian group.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's very much existential. It's very tongue-in-cheek. If you listen to my words, they're all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. You know, definitely not your usual church, you know, whatever, jars of clay kind of thematic elements.
With this album that's come out, do you think you'll take it in any different direction in the future? Do you think you'll add more?
Possible. I've already actually started. I'm about halfway done writing my next album.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Yeah, that one's in the works. And that one's, the theme of the newer one's going to be more about, like, lost love and Las Vegas. So it's
it'll be the same. Name?
Yeah, no, I think it's probably, I don't have an official working title yet. Just some cool songs, but it's going to be, it'll probably be out in another year or so. But yeah, it'll be along the same theme. As realistically as it evolved, it started out from being a joke, just about, you know, like the first show I played at Urban Lounge, like, I'd have, like, tracks from the South Park episode, like, play in between. And then people, like, came up to me after the show, they're like, yo, it's really funny, but we actually really just like your songs. I'm like, oh. Alright, so I, like, kind of was like, alright, well, let's tone back the jokes and make it about the music. And then, like, within 3 weeks within 6 months, realistically, if you look at the big picture of me playing that show, they closed down, what was the first one to go? Bert's Tiki Lounge, then Bar Deluxe, mm-hmm. now Fats is gone,
yeah.
The Woodsheds, all the music venues are, meanwhile, how many temples have been opened up in Utah in the past,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
in the past 6 months? There's have been at least two that I know of, and I don't even pay attention.
passionate about, like, kind of supporting the local music scene. And being someone who's not originally from here, do you have, like, any artists that you particularly like from this area? Or any venues that you particularly like from this area?
I do. I mean, my favorite venue to play here so far has been Urban Lounge, and I also really enjoy playing it in Metro. I had a really fun night just getting drunk and playing at the food trucks. But, yeah, so, I mean, in terms of bands that I've played with, I mean, I love Red Telephone. I think they're called UFO TV now. I'm a big fan of, I don't know if they're still together, the Grand Banks. Those are good friends of mine, and we've jammed a couple times, and those guys are incredibly talented, but they've been working on a new album for like a year now with no signs.
I think from the last I heard, because I have a friend who plays with them too, mm-hmm. but they are...
Okay.
Yeah, they're still a band.
Sweet. Because they make incredible music. Mm-hmm. And then Your Meteor, those guys are amazing. Those cats, they've got some serious, serious songwriting talent that I can't even begin to fathom. Those are some of my favorites. I mean, there's tons. Mm-hmm. There's just so many. There's a lot of great music here. There's a lot of not so great music, but that's any. I mean, I grew up in LA and I was in a bunch of pop punk bands in Los Angeles growing up. So if anyone knows about playing mediocre music, it's me.
How would you say, our scene kind of being new to it? How do you think it's different than like where else you've been, kind of part of the scene?
Right. The worst local music scene I've ever been a part of is San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'd go, like, someone's like, hey, come check out my band, and I'm me being, that's what I'm all about. I'm there. Where's the show? Oh, it's in someone's basement, blah, 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 right? And you get there, and it's just some lady screaming like Yoko Ono into a microphone, shaking a box of nails. And it's just, what I don't understand. And, by the end of the show, she's naked for no reason. It's just, all right, that's cool. Los Angeles, on the other hand, is where everybody goes to get discovered, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've played in probably 6 or 7 bands in LA. The problem with that music scene is that because it's so saturated, because there's so many people who moved to Los Angeles because their band, they started selling out shows in their hometown, and all of a sudden we're gonna get a record deal, and it's just depressing because so many people exploit those bands in Los Angeles. The majority of venues make you, in order to play there, they make you pay for at least 50 tickets at $15 a piece mm-hmm. per band. Mm-hmm. And, if your bands don't come out, don't show up, you're a new band in town just trying to, start your following up all over again. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. It's just...
It's hard, yeah.
It's really, I mean, you can. People do. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had to pay out of pocket just to play a show at some crappy little, really mediocre venue with mediocre sound and a mediocre sound guy, and the other bands that I'm playing with are nothing like the band that I'm in. Yeah. They're all poorly matched, and it's rough out there, but there's a lot of good music that comes from everywhere. Because mm-hmm. everyone's got a different experience, and guitar's the same internationally.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that just in terms of, it's not so much, you can find talented musicians anywhere, it's just more that how many people are around.
Yeah.
Want a chance to win free tickets to the best shows and events in Salt Lake City? It's easy. Visit slugmag.com today and sign up for the Slug Magazine monthly newsletter. You'll stay up to date on our newest features, interviews, columns, and reviews. And of course, you'll get reminders to enter to win all sorts of fun prizes from Slug.
And certain environments kind of fostering that, and certain environments kind of being...
Exactly. I played a show last summer in Payson, which...
Wow. I know where that is.
Yeah. Like, across the street from the temple, all dressed up in, in my missionary garb. I used to, this was back when I first started, and I was all about, I had these two aliens that were inflatable that were dressed up like missionaries, and they were from the planet Kolob, where they don't allow music. Like, I had all this backstory, and... I was sitting in San Francisco. This is all made up, but it's fun. This was my story, mm-hmm. to tell on stage. I was sitting in San Francisco, and I just lost my job, and I was wearing sweatpants, eating at Arby's, sipping out of a warm pint of cheap gin. All of a sudden, I heard God, a.k.a. Eric Clapton, on the radio, and White Room came on. Somehow, the guitar solo told me that I need to move to Utah, where they don't allow rock and roll. And so that guy had a couple laughs and a couple really weird looks, and there were just a bunch of people who didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And a couple guys came up and asked me for my autograph. They're like, "It's so amazing that you're making great Mormon music, man." I'm like, "Did you not listen to anything I said?"
So you're saying you're kind of toning back the jokes right now, focusing more on the music. Is your backstory still part of the whole performance?
Or? Yeah, I mean, it is, I guess, but I don't know. It's just I've realized that if wearing a missionary outfit makes you less approachable for people who like your music. You know, it's like it's one of those things where they're either not sure if you're serious or they think you're actually a missionary of some sort, or, you know, they're super offended. I actually got kicked out of a show once. Like, not kicked out, but, like, I was supposed to play the Fringe Festival. I was supposed to play two nights of it, and they asked me not to come back because they were like, "Well, we don't accept, like, you know, we tolerate our religions here." I'm like, "I tolerate our religions. That's fine. But does that mean that nobody's immune from jokes?"
You know?
And they're like, "Well, you know, those jokes were just really offensive, and we just want, we're afraid that if the church hears about your performance, that they won't let us come back next year and do this again." Like, that's a legitimate fear that people have here.
Yeah.
And that was kind of just what kind of, like, made me think, like, really? Like, at first I just thought it was funny. I'm like, "All right, my jokes are kind of offensive, but, you know, whatever. I mean, nobody thinks I'm serious when I'm standing on stage, you know, saying, like, yeah, you know, all the proceeds from my album are going to, you know, fund vasectomies for low-income families." Nobody takes me seriously when I say that shit. At least I hope not. God, people are impressionable.
And it's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing here, I guess.
It is.
In the environment.
And that's something when you're not, right? Like, I had LDS friends growing up in California. Like, I've lived in actually a predominantly Mormon neighborhood. But it's so different here. It's so much like, they were just my weird friends who weren't allowed to drink Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you know?
Like, it was just a normal, it wasn't like this intense, pervasive, you know, like, "Well, the research is there, you know, pot is clearly beneficial as a medicine, but let's spend tons of the money that we get from our constituents to lobby Congress not to allow them to pass any sort of medical marijuana bill, because that's what God wants us to do." Like,
yeah.
How is this?
It just kind of goes back on logic.
Like, exactly. Just, yeah. But it's okay. We'll let them pass the one with the oils. That you can't get high on that and, like, watch some people. But
yeah, I was like, I take that as a challenge.
Right.
Your website, and you say something like, kind of like, music is almost a religion in a sense, and then, you know, it's saying that you're part of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Dude.
The Church of the Latter-day Dude. Yeah, I'm a licensed, I've actually married several people in the name of the Big Lebowski.
Nice.
I was actually gonna officiate my sister's wedding coming up this summer, but then she decided to go get married in San Juan. I'm like, on like a Wednesday. That's not happening. So, like, it's random things. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna go San Juan next month and get married. I'm like, I'm not flying out. I can't do that.
Yeah, not feasible.
Not feasible. Exactly. So that's been fun. That's what I do. Like, I perform weddings for my friends who don't believe in anything like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because for whatever reason, people, you know, somehow find love and, you know, and decide, all right, well, let's get contracts involved in this. Let's do it. Like, but I don't believe in God, and I don't go to church. So whatever, let's just call Bryce and he'll do it, right? Obviously, and I'm gonna make fun of you, but
yeah,
right. I'm gonna tell some ridiculous jokes while I'm up there.
Yeah.
But we'll have fun with it, and then you guys can, you know, pay taxes together. It'll be great.
Yeah, put your names on everything.
Right, exactly. You'll go to the DMV to get a new driver's license.
Let's take a listen to Reconciliation off of Golden Plate's 2016 album, The Light.
We'll be right back.
You just heard Reconciliation off of Golden Plate's 2016 album, The Light. For more info on this project and music, visit them at goldenplatesmusic.com. Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, that's me, Christian Schultz, Joshua Joy, and John Ford. Angela H. Brown is our executive producer. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colvin. Thanks for listening.